Joel Sparks?
Here.
Claudia Cook?
Here.
Dick Beebe? Adam Kane?
Here.
Evelyn, Kirsten Bay?
Here.
Evelyn Pinsard? Sarah Batiste? Deb Jepson? Mariella Schwartz?
Here.
Debbie Gonzalez?
Here.
Leslie Gold?
Here.
Nicole Flipper? Debbie Coxon?
She's here somewhere.
Okay.
I know where she went.
Jesse Asensio?
Here.
Erin Albertson?
Here.
Gary Newman?
Here.
Brian Keel? Ashley Monroe?
Here.
Tim Eames? Debbie Blevins?
Here.
Juan Gula?
Here.
Robin Winant? Trish Winters?
Here.
Robin Denon?
Here.
Jennifer Youngberg?
Here.
Greg Frick?
He's here somewhere.
Here. Travis Winslow?
Here.
Richard Machida? Yorkwood Toivonen?
Here.
Chris Beck?
Here.
Tom Langdon?
Here.
Cynthia Collins? Tony Abbey? Is there anybody whose name I did not call, and I think somebody joined in the late?
Is there anyone online that's name was not called? All right, we have a quorum. We're good to go. Next item is approval of the agenda for staff council meeting number 236.
Please.
Do we have any changes we would like to make?
Nicole. Okay, someone's going to help me with this. I'm not sure. Staff affairs, we said we wanted to add in an agenda item.
Okay.
And that is a discussion about thanking JHCC. We brought it up as staff affairs, but we think it needs to be brought to staff council.
So new business?
Yes.
We'll make a new business item 8A then, resolution to JHCC. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other?
Okay.
We have a motion to approve. We have a second?
I'll second that.
So we have a motion on the floor to approve the agenda as amended. Do we have any further conversations or changes? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda for meeting 236 as amended, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Thank you. We have an agenda. Well done, Marielle.
Thank
you. So item two is, I'm sorry, 1C, staff council meeting number 234 minutes were distributed with the agenda. We have a second?
Second.
All right, so we have the meeting minutes for 234 before you. Are there any changes? I lost it somewhere. Oh, here it is. Not hearing any changes. Does the maker of the original motion like more time, or are
no.
you? All right, then, not hearing any changes to the meeting minutes for 234. All those in favor of the minutes as distributed, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, thank you. We have minutes for 234. Next, item two is status of pending actions. We have no pending actions. Item three is public comment. It was normally scheduled for 1:45. We're 10 minutes early. I will ask now if there's any public comment. If, however, we have somebody come in at 1:45, I will open it up again. So is there anyone in the room or online that's here for public comment?
Could you explain what that is?
Public comment, because this is a public meeting, is a scheduled time period in every meeting where the public is welcome to come forward and speak regarding an issue. Or some had, for example, United Way representatives come and talk about their United Way drive. We've had others, you know, bring issues of concern. So it's just a scheduled time period during which the public can come forward. Otherwise, they can't. They cannot participate in the meeting unless they're recognized by the chair. Hey, hearing none for public comment, I'll. Yes.
Hi, this is Maria. I just wanted to let you know that I'm online for any questions in regards to Staff Appreciation Day. So I can either take those now or if you guys cover them during the external.
All right. Thank you very much, Maria. Okay, so we'll move then from public comment to the officer's report. Really, in my report, I talked a lot about it today. There is a renewed, or I should say a heightened sense coming out of President Gamble's office about SCI. For those that are new that haven't been here this morning, a very quick note, there's a meeting tomorrow afternoon that will really advance, that will move SCI into phase three is what they're calling it. And I'll know more about exactly what that entails after tomorrow. One thing that everyone should be aware of is where you fit into SDI, and if in the process of identifying your position there, you can put forward any suggestions or changes to advance it. Our chancellor is planning like a digital suggestion box, and will promote the staff contributing to SDI. Excuse me. One thing that I do want to point out, Staff Compensation Committee, prior to since our last meeting in February, I have disbanded in January, my apologies. I have disbanded the statewide Staff Compensation Committee because they met the task that I gave them. They came forward with eight proposals to Staff Alliance. Those proposals are the first one, of course, geographic differentials, volunteer leave time, alternative work schedules, bonus system, personal leave, longevity, leave accrual rates, and a review of the holidays list, the university holidays. So what these items are, I asked, I formed the Staff Compensation Committee with representatives from all four MAUs. And I asked them to look at other ways that we could revamp our compensation. And these were the ideas that they brought forward from conversations with their colleagues and coworkers. And half of them are in a standard format, a template that I asked for them. The other half haven't been put there yet, but they were the first five of these six were approved and blessed. The other two were added on afterwards. Geographic differential, volunteer leave time, alternative work schedules, bonus system, personal leave, longevity, leave accrual rates, and holidays. Yeah, they're on page 22 of the, thank you, of the agenda. So the next step for those items, I did ask Staff Affairs to prioritize those. They thought, you know, their favorite one for us to go forward. The next steps here, certainly this body can make a recommendation on these items, but I need to polish these proposals that came out of the compensation working group, put them in the template. Template includes the proposal, whether it's, for example, it might be to change the leave accrual rates, to break them from, you know, 5 years and 10 years to 3 years, 6 years, 9 years kind of thing, that then we'll take the proposal, the template includes the proposal, justification, additional research and questions. That, what I've done with those, as I've put them into that template, is share them with Tara Ferguson, who is the state director of compensation. She is the statewide director of compensation. She's actually reviewed a couple of them and talked with us about them. So what I'm doing is basically saying Staff Alliance supports these proposals and would like to begin discussions with President Gamble's administration to act on these proposals. So what's going to happen is once I said in their template, I will share them with staff counsel. I'll share them with the director, statewide director of compensation. And I would ask staff counsel to weigh in. Do you support all of these proposals? The other thing that Staff Alliance is going to do is put out a survey. And we're going to ask all staff at the university to prioritize this list. Which ones would you like to see Staff Alliance work on? First, second, third, fourth. So these conversations, I hope, are fully underway by the time August rolls around, by the Staff Alliance retreat. I will ask the President's Cabinet to join us and talk about these proposals and why they, or why not they can go forward. Like I said, the proposals, the titles, I hope, are mostly self-explanatory, but if you have any questions, you can either ask me now or wait until they come out in the template form through Staff Alliance. So any questions on that particular?
I'm assuming there will be more descriptive of each of the items.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So that's where the Staff Compensation Committee is. That happened since our last meeting. I cannot think. My last meeting actually with the President Gamble was canceled because it followed immediately. He came to Staff Alliance and talked to us there. Very good conversation, engaging conversation. I felt very positive after it. We talked about SDI. We did a little bit of talk. And this is something else that you should be aware of. He is rolling out, test driving, a new performance evaluation form. But he is, and when you hear that, keep in mind it's only for his staff. It's not for us. It's only for staff at statewide. So if someone tells you, oh, I heard there's a new performance evaluation form, it's not come to us. It's going to statewide first. Statewide employees, and he's going to seek input from them on it, and he will apply it to them. He cannot apparently apply it beyond that. It's up to the chancellors as to whether or not they accept it. Staff Alliance, you can bet, is going to get involved and look at the form and see if we like it. I hear it's pretty significantly different than what we have. I would hesitate to comment until I actually see it. I know where it originated from, so I have my concerns. Let's see, what else did he say?
Okay, yeah, he talked about the fiscal planning for 2015 is already going on, and right now we're getting really good feedback from Juno, but it's going to be an indicator how bad the next year will be. So we need to stay on top of it and make sure that we get our, like we talked this morning about it, we get our salary increase and keep our ducks in a row. He said maybe next year might be really brutal if we, yeah, if this is an indicator already. So nobody mentioned it. So far ahead of time, we really do need to stay on top of the game. The other thing he was talking about was the Board of Regents regulation review, and that there was miscommunication going on even from our, from his old vice president, that that was on hiatus, but actually they're going on full review right now. So if you're working with a policy, a Board of Regents policy, and you have some changes, send them in now. Because after they did the review and it's at the council,
General Council,
then it's too late and it will be a little too much trouble to change it again. He said he would listen to governance if we come back with a big proposal, but if you have any good idea what you want to change or what you think is wrong in the Board of Regents policies, talk to him now.
Do you have anything that you guys worked on already that kind of direction you're headed? So
no, the only I initiated the grievance process discussion before he launched his review of all policies and regs, and also the education benefit was separate from policy and regs. I asked specifically the question to Dana Thomas, have any policy and regs been changed without governance input? And he assured me, no, they hadn't. And there is a table that lists where all of the policies and regs are. The one that most impacts us, of course, is Chapter 4. Chapter 4 is the Human Resources chapter in Board of Regents policy, and it is, as I understand it, still being discussed among the three HR directors and the chief HR officer at statewide.
So we as governance haven't had a seat at that table. You're just expected to do it
totally. Yes, she's right. I mean, what she said about how we knew it had started, and then all this other stuff came out, and the impression everywhere was that the whole initiative had died and, you know, wandered off or something.
Waiting how SCI went.
Yeah, waiting to see how SCI went and so on. And then all of a sudden we find out that it is in fact still going on. The discussions are still going on. And so that's when I asked, hey, wait a second. You know, and they assured us that all of these policies and changes would come through governance eventually. Or we could initiate them, which is what I've done with the grievance review process.
So other than that, we've got no formal committee, ad hoc committee looking at
this. No, I have appointed two people at Staff Alliance, and I... Claudia is one of them, to keep an eye on it. Just to, you know, you and, was it Dana? Or
no, Connie.
Connie, okay. The representative from Anchorage. Two of them should engage in a conversation with Dana. Just to say, you know, is there a formal mechanism? That's one of the things that they should do. There was talk way back in the beginning of Staff Alliance setting up a Google Doc, but I think we've just said the better approach is just to put the word out that if you work in a particular area that's really strongly affected by any policy or reg, and you think it can be fixed, share it with us. And actually, we probably, I think I did task you guys with a blog post.
Yeah,
they were to put out a blog post that will get repeated on the UAF Staff Council one, basically saying that policies and regs are up for review. If you have, you know, firsthand information on how to make one better, send it in to us, and we will shepherd it through the process. That is pretty much the extent of my comments. I have a So tomorrow I'll be in Anchorage, and Thursday and Friday I'll be in Anchorage also with the Board of Regents. I think it'll be an interesting 3 days. I'm not thinking of any other deadlines that we need to be aware of, but I will put the word out if something comes in. Did you have?
Oh, Joel, before we move on, it's past 1:45, the post agenda call.
Right. Okay, thank you. Is there anyone online or in the room? We'll move back to inquire on public comment or here for public comment. Thank you for reminding me. All right, hearing none then for this meeting 236, we'll close public comment. Chancellor Rogers, have you joined us?
Yes, I have.
All right, then we'll, with Claudia wrapped up, we'll move to you, sir.
Thanks. I'm calling from Juneau, where I'm scheduled in about an hour to testify before the House Finance Subcommittee on the University Budget. This will be the only opportunity for UAF testimony on the budget. They had UAA last week, UAS the week before. The intent is that they're going to try to begin closing out the budget this coming weekend. At the subcommittee level, the prognosis from what I'm getting so far is not that good. There are a lot of new members who are still really learning about the university, and who are looking at holding the line on spending overall. We have very little in terms of new money to start with. We have half of the pay raise money. We have money for opening the Margaret Murray Life Sciences building, money for a couple of other facilities related, and that's essentially it. I'll be laying out the rationale for the new money we're asking for, but a lot of today is really an introduction to these new members as to what UAF is, and that while Fairbanks is in our name, we're everywhere in the state. The capital budget, little action so far, a lot of discussion. The two engineering buildings, probably getting the most discussion so far. I expect I'll be asked some about combined heat and power and where we are there. And beyond that, we will try to lay out, Mark Myers is here with me, we'll lay out the research priorities and see if we can get some interest in those today. I'll be able to report at the next staff council meeting more in terms of what things are like. The meeting begins at 3, and I understand it is going to be on the streaming service, so those after your meeting's out, if you want to see what the questions are like, you might want to join. With that, I really don't have much else, but I'd be glad to answer, as always, questions from members of staff council.
Is there anyone in the room? Does anyone online have a question for the chancellor? I'm not hearing any, Chancellor Rogers. I wanted to tell you that I think we had a great orientation this morning, and I wanted to thank you for lunch.
Good.
I wish you could have joined us, but I'm also very happy you're there.
I wish I could have joined you too, but clearly when the legislature calls, I want to be there for them because I want them to be there for us.
It's a good plan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so we'll move to item 6 then, 210. We're ahead of schedule, everybody. Don't hold your breath. Jennifer Reynolds, are you online? Okay. And Mari Freitag? Actually, I think Mari's. Okay, so we have no governance reports. That's item 6. Item 7, then unfinished business, the Carolyn Sampson Memorial Scholarship.
Remind me what's going on. The history.
Placeholder, no action.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Carolyn Sampson Memorial Scholarship, I know at the last meeting we explained to you its history. I guess my inquiry was, couldn't we be more involved in it? Because it came from, it's a memorial scholarship for a woman that served in Nicole's position quite some time ago. We built it up through raffles, et cetera, the fund up, and now it's self-sustaining, which is awesome. And we award 2 or 3 scholarships every spring. That I think that's why it's here, is I wanted to find out. I guess I want it somehow tied to staff council. You know, we built it and we started it, and I think it should somehow be a part of this body. And one of the suggestions I had was someone here serving on the review committee for the scholarships.
Hey, Duella.
Yes.
Hi, it's Nicole.
Yes.
Advocacy went ahead and looked into that for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and according to the actual original foundation documents, we cannot necessarily create our own group, but we can ask the people that formulate the committees through the financial aid office. We can ask to have a seat on it. So, and that's outlined also in my advocacy report.
So, did advocacy take a position?
No, I did it mostly informational because I wanted to get a feeler from what the body as a whole wanted to do.
Uh-huh. Okay, so are we prepared to take an action here, for example, to make this a permanent committee and that we ask for membership each year, or do we let it continue to be administered and managed, et cetera, hands off through the financial aid office? Oh. Okay. Yeah, we don't want to mess with the IRS.
Well, to my understanding, for the most part, it would be very hands-off for council anyways. To me, it would be very reflective of it being an external committee, so it would be added to the list and then we would have a representative every year sit on it.
Okay, so what we'll do is leave this in Nicole's fine hands and online, Nicole, to put together a proposal. I think that there's two choices here. We participate in actual selection, or we simply invite the recipients to come to our meeting or as they can, so to speak. But I feel like for a couple of years, we knew nothing about who received the awards or had nothing to do with it, and I think it's a shame. So, Nicole, I'll let your group bring forward a proposal.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your legwork on this.
Sure.
Uh, 7B, healthcare benefit update. I don't know what I can tell you. Gary or Debbie, is there something in your SHCC reports that you want to highlight here?
Just that they moved to take away the opt-out and the possible surcharge, but it went to Michelle after that.
Okay. Okay, so for a little more clarification, as you recall, we were riled up about the taking away the opt-out and also charging a spousal surcharge, and JHCC has since met and rescinded those motions, two motions. So I still have, and I was talking to Leslie about this, I still want to have a closer look at the other seven, but that will come in due time. So then the healthcare benefit update, I think we'll, for the future, remove that. Although, at the March meetings of SHCC and JHCC, don't the numbers come out? Yeah, so that's another item. Here in the next 2 months, they'll get the numbers of, and they'll come up with a determination about how the costs to us will change starting July 1. So.
And that's based on those remaining recommendations?
No.
No.
One thing I will say, while JHCC meetings are not open, they do post their agendas and they post all their attachments. So if you're interested in reading up on this stuff, they actually do a good job of making the information available.
So they're setting the prices. Yeah, they're setting the prices based on, you know, the actual costs for the last year and so on. Then there's a formula they have for how to set the costs. And keep in mind, they have to have all this information prepared in time for open enrollment. So maybe we will leave 7B there, make it healthcare benefits slash the numbers. What am I thinking? Open enrollment. We'll just say that.
So because they have chosen the eye care, the SP is going to be the eye care again. I think they're still negotiating the cost with Premera for
adding that.
And then the wellness program has a bunch of
right. And they've also combined Caremark with.
Well, because they chose Premera, the Caremark goes away.
Yeah.
They have to take Premera's, it's still mail order, but they have to take Premera's, which.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and leave this here, and then hopefully by the March meeting we'll have some kind of a projection about how much our costs are going to change July 1.
The wellness program is the one currently in place, not the one with the recommendation.
I'm
weird. Yeah, I believe it's the new one. I best have a question.
Yeah.
They're evaluating proposals now.
Yeah, they haven't made. So we will leave this on here. We'll leave 7B on here because I think there'll be some changes in the next month that you all will want to hear about. So unless there's any further questions or discussion, we'll move to 7C, which is the reorganization group. And Jeanette and Claudia are taking the lead on that. So as you recall, this morning Pips and Walker were here and talked to you about this. This is where essentially they're answering any additional questions, and then I'll get out of here, actually.
Chris came to the rescue.
Okay. So I actually, I'll walk back and forth. So you have this, for those of you online, I have a presentation up. This is Jeanette Altman from the Staff Council Reorganization Working Group, Strategic Planning, whatever our real title was. And this is just an edited version of the attachment that you have. So in order to keep these things fresh in your mind, we just we have some motions to put on the floor about the staff council reorganization. And we just wanted to give you some visual aids to remind you what we're talking about. So I'll go ahead and advance. Okay, the first slide that we're looking at is the proposed committee structure. So the motions, I'm just looking for my sheet here.
There should be more.
Are there more? Okay.
There we go.
Okay, and I will also tell you ahead of time, we have one edit to make on this sheet. So as far as committee structure, the motions are as follows. We can take them, I guess, one at a time. We would like to make a motion to separate EMR into two distinct committees. That would be elections and memberships and rules.
Does everyone have a copy of the motion?
I don't know if it's shut. Are we going to go by motion or leave
the motion? We'll go by motion by motion so as not to confuse individuals.
Yeah.
Okay. I would open up. So Jeanette has proposed to put a motion on the floor.
I'll second that motion.
We have a second. Now let's have a conversation. We're talking. You're talking about the committee structure, the changes to committee structure.
Yes.
We're talking about separating EMR into election and membership and rules right now.
So two separate committees.
Instead of one.
Okay.
I have a question. Are we concerned at all, or have we talked about this increasing the workload on members? I mean, in theory, it shouldn't be increasing it, because EMR is supposed to be doing both of these things anyway, but didn't have enough time. But we already have a lot of external committees. There are a lot of committee obligations. So if we're adding two more committees, are we concerned about that? We're having more, you know, adding more committees. Is that going to make us more efficient, or is that going to make it harder for us to fulfill those obligations?
Well, we were hoping to get more efficient, as Barbara proposed.
Yes, our hope was that by dividing them into two separate focuses, that it would be more efficient, and the scope of the group would be able to focus more closely on the issues at hand.
Yeah.
So that number, they were more interested in elections, and those that were more interested in membership wouldn't have to be a dual job. They could split them into what their own interest is.
Sure. Or you might have a one-member elections committee and then a two-member membership and rules committee.
I kind of go with Brad. Is there going to be enough members to break apart into more groups? Because currently, right now, with the permanent committees that we have, we barely get enough members on, and that's part of supporting all of the things that we need to do is because we don't have enough members to do it. It's not always that we don't have enough time, it's the number of people that we can divvy things up and work with, and that's what you're proposing, is divvying it up and working separately. If we can't do it now, how are we going to do it then? You know, so there's stuff to think about.
Well, that we have the room full of new representatives.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that too is if the elections membership for rules is not getting the job done to begin with, then we need to split it up and get somebody else to do the part that they're not able to do. So I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah, I kind of agree with John. That's I think Walker earlier talked about how elections has kind of taken over a good portion of the year of that committee. And they don't get to membership rules duties. Separating that out makes perfect sense to me. But I can see the concern of not having enough people to fill seats on those committees. But I think it may become much more efficient, and it certainly, it looks certainly like that would be the case. And that may entice people to serve on those committees as well.
Yeah, I encourage them, not when you have any of the all three, you know, encourage them to sign up for that.
If it's going to split right now, could we see a show of hands maybe about who would be on the elections and who would be on membership and rules so that we would actually know how many people there could be?
How many are on the committee currently?
I think it's a committee of one at this point.
Richard's not here, but he's a VP.
Yeah.
So a committee of two.
I think there was one other person that was. It's a fairly compact committee. One thing I would say is that the elections is a short-term thing. It probably occupies time October, November, and December. So it's
Jennifer.
Kind of like a calendar committee where it's just it's a short blast. And so, yes, it does distract from other things of the environment.
Isn't it more efficient now because part of the, what took so much was Walker putting so much work and effort into getting it so it would be more self-sufficient in the future, right?
Yes, it is, but, you know, to be honest, there's always little glitches. We found some TKO issues. It's kind of parsing it. But the other aspect of it is that it gets back to what elections does is it actually needs to go and deal with membership issues. As part of its job, so there would then have to be two committees in a sense that potentially could be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think I'll take Brad's position on this. I think it's kind of splitting off something. It's hard enough to get critical mass. I think even in committee chairs, we've had a hard time getting committee chairs. It's going to be more reports that we're going through, but although they might cover the same thing.
So.
This seems like an administrative burden.
So, Gary, who is the current membership of EMR? Is it you and Richard?
Maybe Richard, and I think he's one of the first.
So, three. Right now, the membership of EMR is three.
You know, one other thought or option is to clarify whether it's in the bylaws or in the Constitution, wherever it is, it says that staff council reps must be on a committee. Specify that you must be on an internal committee, and then in addition to something else,
I think it does.
But make it so that, oh, it sounded like there was some confusion about that earlier.
Yeah, like it was up to the president whether it was
don't put that on me.
Okay.
So what I meant was the way that, because I think Kip said it was, I chose that everybody had to be on a committee, making it sound like there was an option to
It's in the bylaws that you have to be on a permanent committee. It doesn't indicate whether or not it's internal or external.
So that would be one thought then, you know, if we're... that everyone on staff council needs to be on a permanent internal committee and then maybe and an external committee or and on an external committee as required, you know, by need.
I like that idea.
Okay.
But and then I would go back to, though, we're, you know, what we're talking about is having a lot of committee seats that need to be filled and not as many people to do it, which, you know, it may or may not be a bad thing. I mean, we already have people who double up. So increasing
the other issue for us, we've had times where we've had staff chairs as 12 people on it, and there may be some effort of the executive folks here to try to balance that out, to say, okay, we only need this, and somebody else needs this. So we're trying to make a committee assignment to balance.
I do think that perhaps the reg side of it can scare people off from the election side. I think if they were split, there might be more people interested in jumping in on the election side. I think it's very telling that Walker, who did the most work on this, thinks it's a good idea. He had enough on both sides to be split in half. And it seems like specialization is usually more efficient. So even if you had one person on each committee, each person could be focusing in that area. One perspective.
Okay, so as an FYI, of course, we encourage discussion. But Gary, how would you phrase it if someone wanted to move it to a vote?
Well, we have a motion.
Yeah, we have a motion. We have a motion.
And we have a second.
Yes.
Further discussion, take a call for vote.
There is more comment. I'm just asking for the clarification for the group. You can at any time, right? Isn't it call for the question?
You can call for the question.
Yes. Which wishes for a vote? Yes.
A couple things. The rules issue, that's mainly just dealing with bylaws if things come up and keeping those in order. And it seems like right now there may be some work for that committee if the structure is changing. But if you're trying to specialize or separate things, it may make sense to have a bylaws committee by itself. And that wouldn't have very much going on a regular basis, but as things come up, they'd be there. And if it's the elections and membership go more together, maybe that would be a different way to split it. But having said that, my general view in group work is if a committee has done a lot of work on something and comes with a proposal, my sense is I'm going to go along with what the committee is recommending because they've done the work and they've been tasked with that, and I trust them to do that and hope that when my committee comes with a proposal, I'll get that same respect. So that's kind of my general sense of operating in groups.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? So hearing none, then we have a motion on the floor that's been seconded and we've had discussion. I am going to go ahead and put it to a vote. The motion on the floor without amendment is to separate EMR into two distinct committees, elections as one and membership and rules as the other. We will online call the individual names, but in the room, all those in favor, please raise your hand.
Yeah, give me a
Hold on.
Sorry, it's a new list. Open.
No. All right, those in the room, and keep in mind online, I promise I will come back to you, but you'll need to do a roll call vote for you online. This is the problem. Tom? I need to know who you're here representing. Now, I understand there's some confusion as to who is representing Richard Machida.
I got to go back. He did delegate.
Two. And she's online? Okay. All right. So then, Tom, I just want to be sure that you weren't voting. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Then in the room, all those opposed to the motion, please raise your hand.
Okay. I didn't see you.
They win.
Okay.
All right, then online, we will ask for a roll call vote from you. Online, we have Nicole Klopfer. How do you vote?
Yay.
You vote for the motion. Who else is online? Cindy?
Yay.
Deb Blevins, are you online?
Yay.
And how do you vote?
Yay.
Is there anyone else online? All right, then.
There was at least six against.
Well, I was going to say five, but yeah, five or six.
There were six in the room.
And one online, right?
And one online.
No.
I thought Nicole Klepfer said nay.
Nicole, was that a yay or a no? Yes or no, Nicole Klepfer?
That was a yes.
Oh, my bad.
Because it's five and I can't count.
Okay. So, okay.
No, 15, 4, we're still.
6 of us that raised our hands. I don't know.
Okay.
I've got Mary Alice, Debbie Gonzalez, Debbie Thompson.
Mary Newman, Travis, and Brad.
Brad.
And Travis.
Travis.
Okay.
And then Gary 4, so.
Oh.
Gary was against?
Gary was against, yes.
Gary was against.
All right.
That was the number. Okay. Is everyone comfortable with that vote, or should we redo it? Okay. My apologies. I need to interrupt the process here. Jennifer Reynolds, Faculty Senate President, has joined us in the room, and she is scheduled for a report. We'll go back to that item then on the agenda. Jennifer, we were like racing ahead, man. Sorry about that.
Apparently. No, it's fine. Oh, my God. Meant to be here earlier. Yeah.
So that's your mic, just so you know to speak that
okay.
way.
Okay. I usually am speaking pretty loudly. Can everyone hear me? All right. So I'm the president of the Faculty Senate, for those of you I haven't seen here before. And I am here just to give a quick update on some major things that the Faculty Senate is doing that might be of interest to you. I will skip over most of the academic policy issues that we've been looking at. There is one academic policy that might be of interest. We've created a new minor in military security studies. And then the other two items I will mention are let me just describe what they are. The first is that we've established an ad hoc committee on interdisciplinary issues. And the charge to this committee is to identify structural problems, impediments, and disincentives to interdisciplinary teaching, student advising, and research. And the reason is that there's growing interest in doing interdisciplinary work here. The students are interested, the administration is interested, but there are actual structural barriers to faculty engaging in this kind of work. And so we want to attack these barriers and restructured parts of the university that are getting in the way, but first we need to identify what the problems are. So that's the charge to this committee. This is undoubtedly an effort that will go on into next year. We will add the administrators after the faculty have their turn at this, and the administrators will have a different point of view, and I'm sure it will be very useful to combine the two. There is, if you're interested, there is a web page for this committee off of the Faculty Senate committee page. And we have also been looking at the possibility of setting up a central online repository for some kind of additional information on courses for students. One possibility is to post all the course syllabi. Another one is to post expanded course descriptions. And this is a touchy subject because many faculty are concerned with what happens with their syllabi. Many are concerned with the workload involved in doing this. And we were getting such a range of responses that we decided to run an online survey. So we did a survey of all the faculty at UAF, and that closed on Monday, and I'm in the middle of analyzing the results. And then we will take the results back to the Faculty Senate and discuss what to do. We might not establish this repository, or we might do it, and if we do, the survey should guide what direction we go. It looks like there's much more comfort for expanded course descriptions than actual syllabi, so that's likely to be the direction we would go. Any comments or questions?
Ooh.
Yes, please.
Couldn't you just have Banner somehow pull the syllabi out of UA Online? And
the syllabi are not in UA Online.
Oh, sorry, not UA Online. I meant
Blackboard.
Thank you.
They're not in Blackboard either.
But if the teacher is kind enough to put it on.
Right.
Okay.
They're only in Blackboard if the teacher's put it there, and you only have access to that class in Blackboard if you're enrolled in the class. Okay. So if we do this in Blackboard, and that is one of the possibilities, one of the places we might house it, if we do that, we would set up a shell inside of Blackboard that you see as soon as you log on to the UAF portion of Blackboard. And there would be something like drop-down menus where you could find the courses that you want without having to know the name or the number of the course. Just often a problem is students are just exploring courses. They don't know what they're looking for. So one possibility would be to park it there. There are other possibilities, too.
Yeah, there's a Chris Becks with Training and Support Group of OIT. UA Online already has an option and a spot for a course to have a syllabus uploaded. I don't know about extended course descriptions, but Summer Sessions has used this for years. So that's already possible. And so I'm not sure that another system is needed, but I mean, there's an option there that I think, I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was wondering if Faculty Senate had considered creating a survey to get the student input on that idea. Speaking as a student, it would be enormously helpful when you're picking a class to know what you're really getting into. I mean, not all three credit classes are created equal, and sometimes I enroll for a class and it's like 10 chapters a week, and at least knowing what you're kind of getting into before you enroll so you can make sure you have a more intensive one and maybe a lesser one at the same time instead of getting stuck with several that are very reading intensive or time intensive would be amazing.
Yeah, and we understand that there are many students who want to do that, and some students would do it to manage their workload the way you're describing. Others simply do it to, well, the less admirable reasons. Some students just want the easiest class they can get, but the least work and the easiest professor.
But her question was, were you going to open this up to students?
Okay, but no. So let me finish. Okay, so the subject has already come up as far as you know what students would like, and we are trying to provide additional information for students to select courses. And for people, for their advisors to advise them on it. This has got to be balanced against the concerns of the faculty. And right now, we can already see that there are a lot of faculty concerned about what they call course shopping. And so what we're probably the middle ground we will end up with is providing more information about the content of the course, the subjects in it, what's covered, but that is one of the reasons why we would not provide full syllabi, because we don't want to show work assignments, grading specifications, all these things that, because we don't want to invite students to be course shopping based on those things. We would like them to be course shopping based on the academic content of the course. So I understand where you're coming from, and a lot of students approach it the way you are, but others don't.
Oh, I just thought most students, and maybe it's my misunderstanding, are like in a degree program and you have to take it at some point regardless. So it's not really degree shopping so much as then your work.
Well, when you get into that, you get into situations, especially in the undergraduate courses, where there are multiple instructors, and then students want to see what each instructor is requiring for this course that they have to take. There's a sensitivity around this. I think because this would be a new system, we need to start easy and start with a system that the faculty are willing to collaborate on.
It is my understanding that UAS does this already for their students. Did the Faculty Senate maybe contact the Faculty Senate or counterpart at UAS on
this? We have monthly meetings with the Faculty Alliance, and I don't remember anyone picking up on this from UAS and saying, oh, we do this already. But I've only mentioned it briefly.
Okay.
So.
And the reason I do that is they UAS just went to a full online Blackboard system. And in helping them kind of set that up and manage and kind of say, hey, here's how we do it, you know, this is what's possible. One of the complications on their end was having courses available to students regardless of whether they were enrolled or not, so they could look at a syllabus, for example, or additional materials that the instructor makes available.
Okay, and I don't think we're going to do that for the reasons I just said.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, I understand, I just, I don't know if you talked with UAS regarding that.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask who joined us?
Debbie, I got disconnected.
Okay. Okay. Back to the list of motions brought forward by the reorganization group. We have passed number one. We have seven more to go.
The next motion was to create a compensation and benefits committee that includes attention to health care issues. We just saw that the staff affairs has such a gigantic work that would be done staff affairs, including health care and everything that's coming up, and to separate it out that people can pay more attention on health care and then on all the other stuff, which is motion number three, including the hiring and creation and human resources issue and the other one. Would give more focus on the other side, because it looks like we always have one big subject going on and then we focus all our attention on it and then don't talk about the event. That's not a, I mean, that's not. That was just a, and I know right now it's tough to recruit members, but I guess in past years there was a bigger group, and hopefully we will have a bigger group again that we can split and concentrate on different things.
I agree. I don't have much to add.
So we don't have a motion yet.
Oh yes, was that what you were pointing at me for?
Yes.
Okay. So I would like to make a motion to create a compensation and benefits committee that includes attention to health care issues.
Second.
Right. So any questions on this motion? Any comments, thoughts, concerns?
Question, Mike, how do you see the current staff health care committee, which includes staff from all MEUs, fitting into this?
I believe, so up on the monitor now, and again, for those online, this is the committee structure slide of the attachment 236-2. The proposed committee structure in total is listed on that slide. So compensation and benefits, if I'm understanding correctly, would take the place of staff health care committee. Okay, then I don't understand what staff health care committee is. It external to staff?
Yes, staff health care committee is composed of memberships of all staff units, governance units in all MAUs.
Oh, then I don't think that it will have, this is intended to be a sub.
We're going to replace that too.
This is intended to be a subcommittee of staff council. And I guess I don't see the connection.
Okay, well, I guess as a member of staff health care committee, I report to you folks here. In turn, Joella through Staff Alliance also gets in, or Vice President through Claudia will get information from the joint health care committee. So we're both getting information. And very frequently on the agenda, we've got a health care thing, and then we've got our health care report. So it's kind of duplicative. So now if we also have a compensation committee that's also addressing health care, not only do we're trying to keep communication lines going in multiple directions, and presumably saying the same information, or maybe we get a different information,
sure.
That might be good.
We could feed it up.
But it just seems like it could be confusing.
I believe that this was, oh, sorry, Joel, did you want to go?
Well, there's an important thing to keep in mind here. There's the structure, and then there's the outside the structure. My role is outside the structure. The structure on healthcare is currently, for example, if if Leslie, is that right, Leslie, wanted to make a resolution or a motion opposing Caremark going away, which I know clearly is not what you want. But if you pass that motion, if you wanted that, you would take it to staff affairs, you guys would flesh out the motion, pass it, forward it to staff council, staff council would discuss it and pass it, and then that directs me as president to take it up to staff alliance, and staff alliance would probably send it to staff healthcare committee. So that's the structure of how things go. The information dissemination, the structure is technically Gary brings that back to staff alliance, or no, staff alliance and staff council. That's information dissemination, that's one thing.
So that's, you know, what your job is dealing with the upper levels and then disseminating downward, or are you taking what the general consensus from each unit, you know, what their opinion or thoughts or concerns, especially on these health, you know, these recommendations, that we did at the last meeting where we said we are totally against the opt-out,
right.
and then it went up the hill.
I think it comes from both directions.
It does. It does come from both directions. But one thing that what I said earlier is this group doesn't take enough action. I hear from you, but then I take a verbal conversation on up to staff alliance. But you are also well within your rights and my expectations of you to pass a motion. And what they're proposing here is that there's a committee that's focuses the healthcare benefits and compensation separate from staff affairs. And that committee could then be working firsthand with Gary and Debbie and talking about what's going on, taking a position and taking it back. There are any number of ways to do this. Gary can do the same thing. Gary right now can say, I want to pass a motion opposing, you know, Caremark going away right here, right now. So there's any number of ways to do it. What I think this is a similar thing here as what was done with EMR, and that is kind of separating things out.
Yeah, I do believe that this notion was born out of preventing the staff affairs committee from being the benefits and compensation show all the time. And Mary Alice might be able to speak more to that. She was on this committee too. But this is such a big issue, we thought. Go ahead, John.
The heart of the proposed committee changes and the staff council changes is everything in grievance, evaluations, hiring, HR, compensation, benefits has all fallen under staff affairs, and that's just way too much for staff affairs to do effectively. So what we're trying to do is break out healthcare and compensation into or compensation and benefits into one section, and then let staff affairs be effective in all the rest of that stuff that they have to do. I think that was the heart of the whole.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And yes, from the other committee members.
Yes, thank you for clarifying.
Kind of what we're after there.
I thought it was my impression that Gary's role on the health care committee, and I don't have all of the names, sort of, was a sort of a special appointment. You've asked him to do that for you for staff council. So it seems to me that this committee would provide him that support, or somebody from this committee would be the logical person to be that
that's one
thing. So instead of having just a, here's a special appointment ad hoc, do it now because we need somebody,
right.
We would have an ongoing committee to address these issues.
Connecting committees like that is actually one thing that we have done. So for example, on the staff healthcare committee, the chair of the staff healthcare committee is our representative on the joint healthcare committee. So we do tie the committees together like that.
How many are on the staff healthcare committee right now?
Two from every MAU, so eight and alternates, yes. Jennifer?
I have a question. The prior one, Walker is the one who I think proposed it, and he had been a member of the committee for a long time. He had that background. Can you tell me who proposed this one? Do they have the background and know how much work is involved?
I don't know. I have distanced myself, so I would ask those
mm-hmm.
that have been active if you can speak to
I don't remember exactly who who did bring it. These suggestions or recommendations were made after a series of meetings over a few months. So I don't remember organically who brought it up, but there was a lot of attention paid to the fact that there are the breadth of subject matter that staff affairs is dealing with right now is so wide. And in orientation this morning, I mean, how many of us really care about healthcare and benefits? And that's one of the biggest reasons that we're here. So that's one of the recommendations we made, is that we would have a committee dedicated just to that, so staff affairs could focus on the other things. So I don't remember. The meetings were based on a lot of discussions and Q&A and brainstorming, so it wasn't, you know, people that came in and had a suggestion right off the bat. So.
And there were a lot of people on there. I was on there, but I was opposed to this, so that's why I haven't added much to the conversation.
Well, you should add to the conversation.
Yes.
Well, I'm trying not to, but I came on as staff affairs chair, kind of, and then right afterwards, all of this came up. And I don't know what staff affairs was like before, and I know that we've had a few struggles here over the holidays getting people on, but now we have a group of people that are knowledgeable and joining on. And one of my biggest things with staff affairs is the benefits, is, you know, the compensation. You know, I could see breaking some of the health care out, because that is a huge thing, but staff affairs is all about the compensation and benefits. And so that was my thing all along, with not wanting to break that apart. And I think the grievance falls under, you know, having a grievance plan as part of our benefits. So I'm a little torn on why we would want to split that apart. Not opposed to moving the healthcare out, because I think the healthcare is a huge entity that needs its own world. Like, and that's why we have Debbie and Gary on that.
And I'll throw out another opportunity, because another option, because that, part of my role obviously here is making sure you have all the information you need. At any time, I can appoint an ad hoc committee, she can appoint an ad hoc subcommittee of staff affairs to focus on healthcare or to focus on some particular topic, so that we can take an action or make. So I guess that's one thing I want you to be aware of. We can do that. That is an option. Though oftentimes, again, you have new chairs come in and they don't know what they can do, and they, you know, aren't sure what they can't do, and so on. And it all comes down to personalities. Mary Alice, believe it or not, is a conservative type and isn't going to stick her toe in the water unless she's sure of the temperature. I've had other chairs jump right in and let's see what happens. So, it's a somewhat personality driven, but there are other options to this. If the chair of staff affairs says, holy cow, this healthcare is a big deal, I'm going to, Gary and Debbie and someone else to be the healthcare ad hoc for staff affairs for this year. So that is another.
Plus, you're not stuck on being the staff affairs. I mean, if you like, if we came up with that new board, if we set up, and you can say, well, I want to be the chair of compensation and thing, and somebody else can take over the rest of the staff affairs. So you can just move around whatever you're interested in.
Well, I look at, you know, there's two groups. There's probably a lot of things going on in both groups. Healthcare, especially because we're changing over to new providers and in the contracts and everything else like that. I can see that settling down just a little bit. I mean, certainly, how much we're going to pay this year, how much we're going to pay next year, and other healthcare reform things coming in with it. But with that said, I think compensation is really tied to grievance and evaluation and hiring, that piece, because I don't think you can have those two separate, because if someone's having a grievance or if they haven't had their evaluation and it's tied to compensation, then you're saying, I'm going to go to the committee to talk about the compensation. So I think having those two separate probably does not work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Compensation is one of the things that I think it's number 5 on the staff affairs agenda. So we actually talked in our meeting about setting up an ad hoc for compensation once we got some more rules around it, because there's sometimes it's getting the time to figure out, okay, who's the right players and what exactly is everybody asking us. And that's what we're doing right now, and then from there it'll break out to an ad hoc group, because it's going to have to, because it is going to need specialized. But I agree with Debbie that, you know, the compensation and benefits is what we're all about.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask this. Gary and Debbie, you have roles on the joint. Okay, is it the staff healthcare committee? Sorry, there's so many different external committees. Do you feel that if there was a committee that focused just on healthcare, would that be a benefit to help you guys in your dealings with the staff healthcare committee, or is it just superfluous? Because I'm hearing some feedback that maybe we should break out healthcare into its own committee in this way, but not compensation.
How about the option of running it with an ad hoc to be and truly stand on its own, or is it a benefit?
That's a good idea.
Part of the challenge with the healthcare stuff is really when you get down to it, it's so complicated, so much arcane little stuff, and you start to read the reports, and they just give you the summaries, and you're still glazing over. And so there's an incredible educational challenge just jumping into it. And you may think that something absolutely makes no sense. I guarantee you that a lot of the people that voted against opt out have no real idea of understanding all the different numbers or why things were. And quite frankly, by the time I got them, I didn't understand why the administration was pushing it either, because it cost us more. But getting all the information out at a certain point, you kind of have to just get the sense of it. Now, if there's a committee or it's an ad hoc committee that's willing to delve into that and learn all about that stuff, my guess is that probably at some point they're going to be on the staff healthcare committee and they're going to be carrying forth. I think it's probably a division of labor you don't quite need because there's all this other stuff going on. I guess that how much do we as staff council reps have to do? We have lots of stuff on our plate. And I would say it's almost a distraction unless there's some real reason to do that. So I guess that the ad hoc thing makes some sense if there's a need for it.
Okay. I know that in the Staff Alliance Constitution, I have the authority to limit discussion, but I don't think that's in this one. But I'm going to encourage us, given the fact that we have six more of these to discuss, unless you have a concern and are unwilling to vote, I'm going to encourage you to...
What was that formal language? Call the question?
Call for question.
I call for question.
All right, then, we have a motion before us to create a compensation and benefits committee that includes attention to healthcare issues. All those in the room in favor of this motion, please raise your hand.
That would seem... Well, I can
come that way. Online, those in favor?
Aye.
Nicole?
Aye.
Cindy?
Yes.
Deb Levin?
Yes.
Okay. All those in the room opposed to the motion to create a compensation and benefits committee, please raise your hand.
I'm abstaining.
Yes. And you're not voting?
I'm abstaining.
Okay.
I've got 13.
A 13 to
3, yes. And
how many times? Okay, those in the room who have abstained, please raise your hand.
So
we have a final of 13 opposed, 3 in favor, and 4 abstentions. The motion fails.
Well, that kind of fails motion 3, too.
Motion 3
says. Yeah. Motion 3 has not been proposed yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we opt not to propose it?
Yeah, no one's proposed it yet.
Okay.
Unless there's someone in the room that wants to make this motion or online. My apologies for those online. Hearing none, we'll move to motion 4, proposed motion 4, motion to define the focus of an advocacy committee to issues surrounding staff council onboarding, mentoring, communication, and public relations.
Second.
I can't make a motion. I'm not making a motion.
I'll do it. I move to define the focus of advocacy committee to issues surrounding staff council onboarding, mentoring, and communications and public relations.
And Adam.
Just a point of order. I think when a committee brings motions to a group, they're made and they don't need a second.
You are correct, except that this committee is not a formal committee of the staff council.
But it's an ad hoc committee that you
created. No, it's not.
Okay.
It's an informal committee. They formed themselves. My apologies for not explaining that. This reorganization group is an informal committee, not officially associated with staff council, except for its membership. Happens to be they were staff council reps, past or present, and brought these forward. Jeanette is the connection. Jeanette is making the motions as a representative of staff council. Thank you. I'm sorry about that. So we have a motion and a second to define the focus of advocacy committee issues surrounding staff council onboarding, mentoring, communication, and public relations. Any comments, questions, or concerns?
I have a question for Nicole online.
Okay.
Okay.
If this motion is defined like this, what is being eliminated that you are currently doing?
Nothing.
So then is anything actually changing with advocacy, either whether we yay or nay it?
Well, it's being more defined, because essentially our purpose right now just says, hey, we put together functions and events to promote the value of staff. And to me, by doing this, we're putting more value into the purpose of the committee, thus making us more productive and more effective.
Kind of officially puts like communications under advocacy, which isn't there now, and mentoring and onboarding and other aspects that fit into that.
I just wanted to see if there was anything coming out that we were missing.
Gary?
No.
My understanding of these motions is anything that passes that will be forwarded to EMR to actually formalize these into incorporation and bylaws.
Yes.
So in the case of advocacy right now, it just says they have the following responsibilities, organizing events and functions. Help make the public aware, blah, 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 and then increase staff morale. So whether those or other items to be determined by the committee. So the question I would have, I guess, for the maker of the motion, is it your intent to add these to what exists now, or not to eliminate the two items that are in there already?
I don't believe that anything will be eliminated. There was a concern in the committee meetings that a lot of new staff council members maybe felt kind of lost, and so that's why some of these things were brought up. So I don't believe that we will be, and any other member of that committee is definitely welcome to comment on the intent of this motion, but I don't believe that we will be eliminating anything.
So we're just adding two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone else had a question?
So, yeah, that was partly kind of my question. It's like, you know, what does it mean if one of these things passes? So is this just going to then the ones that pass will get sent to the rules committee, and that committee will figure out how to incorporate this into the current bylaws? And so then at some point we're going to be presented with some, most likely be presented with some motion to amend the bylaws in some ways to incorporate these things.
Again, my apologies. I'm assuming a lot of pre-existing knowledge here. Yes, that is exactly the process. Motion, then I will send these, the pass, EMR, to write up the proposed amendments to the bylaws, and they'll bring them back to staff council for a vote, and then correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, bylaws only have to be voted on once. Constitution has to be, constitutional changes voted on twice. So, yes, you're exactly right. It will come back around in a language that you have the final approval of. Well, yeah, because the Chancellor only signs off on the Constitution, not the bylaws. Any other questions or concerns related to the motion on the floor? Nicole, did you want to make any statement?
No.
Hearing none, I will then call for a vote. Motion before this, a motion has been made and seconded to define the focus of advocacy committee to issues surrounding staff, council, onboarding, mentoring, communications, and public relations. All those in the room in favor of this motion, please raise your hands. Okay, online. Those in favor of this motion, Nicole?
Aye.
Cindy?
Yes.
Deb?
Yes.
Is there anyone else online I'm not calling, just to double check? All right, all those in the room then opposed to the motion? All those online opposed? All right. Thank you. We have a unanimous decision in support of motion number four under committee structure.
So it's executive board structure, so the change now a little bit since we doesn't split up compensation and staff affairs, so it would be only eight. So right now, the only thing we would propose different would be that we have the new chair of elections, or the rules and membership, both of those guys attend executive council.
So
we're naming it executive council instead of admin committee.
So as the structure exists now, the chairs of the internal committees, as the chair of staff alliance, the chair of staff affairs, the chair of rural affairs, the chair of EMR, and the chair of advocacy, Nicole, serve on what's called the administrative committee. So the chairs of the four internal committees serve on the administrative committee, the vice president, and the president.
And the past president.
And the past president. That's the administrative committee. That committee develops the agenda for the coming meeting and prepares any questions for the pre-staff meeting. Pre-staff is where the officers meet with the chancellor prior to every staff council meeting. That's their role. What this motion apparently is, motion to include the chairs of all newly defined committees, such as you did in the first motion you passed today, including elections, membership and rules, staff affairs, rural affairs, advocacy, president, vice president, and past president, for a total of eight seats. So what we're asking you to, what they're asking you to do, not yet because I haven't heard a motion, is to change the structure of the administrative committee to parallel and to absorb what we did in the first motion.
And it's also changing the name.
Yes.
Yeah.
And changing it apparently.
So there should be two motions.
Yes.
Yes. Structure.
I don't see that here. So there.
Practically though, that's all it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's already defined that the administrative committee is composed of these people plus the committees to determine the committee chairs.
The language is broad, it's not specific. Does the committee chairs, or does it list?
Well, I think it was all permanent. Chairpersons of the permanent committees.
Okay.
And special appointments of the president and vice president does allow for that. And the president and vice president.
Oh, okay, then that's the bylaws.
Yeah, in the bylaws, right.
It doesn't include the past president, though, does it?
That's true. So that would be special.
Okay.
So I just say it however you want, but the committee chair portion of the sentence is
unnecessary. Okay, good point. So what Gary's pointed out is that that we don't need the motion that lists the individual committees. The motion that then... as I understand it, is a motion that changes the name, and it's the motion that changes the as the past president. Is that correct? Any questions on that? Do we have a motion?
All right, let me give this a shot. I move to include the past president as part of the admin committee.
Okay. Were you completed?
I have completed.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to add the past president to the administrative committee. My question to you for discussion, is it a voting member or an ex officio member?
Me?
I'm just throwing it out there for anybody.
I think we had considered it an ex officio member. Other committee members, do you believe that? So not a voting? Or maybe I just am under that permission.
Let me ask this question, then. Is the president a voting member of that committee?
No.
Okay.
Are there rules about a voting member that it doesn't represent the unit?
No, I don't believe there is. What I do know is that the officers are not voting members of any committee.
If the president's vote is tiebreaker, then at any point, because at this point, if that past president is a non-voting member, you can potentially have a tie at that point. Is the president's vote a tiebreaker?
That's a good question.
Bylaws, I'm not familiar enough yet with your bylaws. So
I don't believe that language is there.
Okay. Then I would consider the past president to be a voting member so that you don't have that option. So you don't have that problem. What a tie.
I'm going to have fun next year. Do we take that as a clarification, or is it a motion to amend the motion?
But if you had the past president, then wouldn't that make it a potential tie?
Eight. Yeah, that makes it. No,
there's eight now.
There's eight now, one of which the president can vote.
And the vice president
can vote.
The vice president can vote.
The committee chairs are now down to eight.
No, the committee chairs are at five.
Five.
But if the past president was a voting member, then we would have an even number. Unless we had more, as Gary pointed out, the verbiage does not really say how many permanent committees there are, so it would depend on how many permanent committees were established at the time. So I don't know if, I guess my point is that hoping to avoid a tie might not be the best thing to permanently include in it.
My question is, what does this floor committee vote on?
We ever vote?
They approve the agenda, and they approve the agenda, and they have in their authority to direct the conversation items that we have with the chancellor.
So far, it hasn't been a real contentious relationship.
The other duty is during the summer when staff council isn't meeting.
Yes.
Basically, they ask for the authority of staff council to conduct business.
Yes.
That make emergency business that may come up.
In the summer, yes, they have with the permission of council as a whole, they have the ability to act on your behalf.
There's always a potential for a tie if you have somebody not there. I mean, it seems like you've always got to have some mechanism to
for a tiebreaker.
Break of tie. Yeah. I mean, I guess I've just never heard of the president not being.
So the tiebreaker.
Right. Just, yeah.
Okay. So the motion on the floor.
There is a motion on the floor, but I did not specify in the motion whether when we adopt the past president as a member of the admin committee, I did not specify whether or not that would be a voting position.
I think this is also something then that EMR can bring back to council in their language and say, you know, this is what we suggest. You can vote on the motion on the floor as it is, or you can make another motion to amend it, vote on that, and then vote on this.
I think it'd be easier just to do it now.
Okay. So
is it typical that the past president is no longer a member of staff council?
They are, in fact, actually a member. They're just not a voting
member. Okay. Well, and that's defined?
Yes.
That they be, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a formal position of of council, but not a non-voting.
But it's specifically a non-voting.
Yes. And if they take a representative seat, for example, they give up their rights as past president.
As president. Okay, so you can't be a...
Yeah.
But, and does it specifically say that the president does not vote in these...
This, me?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not a voting.
Would the vice president serve as chair?
Yes. That hasn't been proposed to change. So the motion on the floor is to add, to change, was it to change? No, just to add past president as a member of the administrative committee.
Not
the
president to allow to vote in case of a tie.
Yes.
So you've made that motion?
Yes.
Motion to amend?
Second.
All right, so what we're going to do here first is vote on the motion to amend, and then we'll vote on the original motion. Is there any further discussion?
State both of those. I'm not sure I understand.
Okay, so... The original motion was to add the past president as a member of the administrative committee.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
The motion on the floor now is to make that a voting member of the administrative committee.
Only in case of a tie.
Only in case of a tie. And so once we approve that, then we have to come back and, well, once we vote on that, then we have to come back to this. Gary?
Just speaking to the amendment, I would just point out that according to what I see in the bylaws, there's no reference to voting for non-voting members, whether vice president, president, chair, votes. So it doesn't really specify. It's just become maybe just a policy.
I thought it specified it in the Constitution. We're not voting members.
Yeah.
So if there's no further discussion, Adam, I'm sorry, you raised your hand.
I was just thinking, there's always the possibility that a past president could retire or move away or something and no longer have that vote available. So
yes,
just something to think about.
I'm looking to run away fast.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, is there any further discussion then on the second, on the amendment to the motion?
I don't see it in the
Constitution. Yeah, I don't see it either.
Well, then I guess I just decided that.
No,
I've never. No. I don't know where it went because from minute one, this 6-7 years ago when I was first an officer, I was told I had no vote.
You were told?
Yes. I know it's to her advantage. And I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I believe, no, honestly here, this is my belief about our positions. We're here to give you the information, and then you tell us what you want us to do. That's elected official in this role. That's my assumption. So that's why I assumed I had no voting rights. And apparently I better go check that. I've never voted. As an officer, I have never voted on anything. And I won't, and completely worthless apparently because my name's not on anything. And I do the same at chair, at Staff Alliance. I don't vote. But it's a good point for EMR to take up, Gary. No.
MR. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sorry, but we are out of time, so I'm going to push for a vote on the amendment to the motion. And the amendment to the motion was that the past president would be a voting member of the administrative committee in case of a tie. Everyone agrees with that? All right. So in the room, all those in favor of that motion, please raise your hand.
In the room.
Okay. Online. Nicole? Nicole Klopper, are you in favor of the motion, the amendment to the motion?
Yes.
Cindy, are you in favor?
Yes.
Debbie?
Yes.
Anyone else online? Hearing none, all those in the room opposed to the motion, the amendment to the motion. Please raise your hand.
Okay.
Online, is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions in the room or online? I didn't.
Okay, 15, 4, and 5 against.
Okay. All right, so the motion passes, the amendment to the motion passes. Next on the floor is a motion to install the past president as a member of the administrative committee.
I call the question.
This one failed, but they're now a voting member of.
Yes. We have a call for the vote. In the room, all those in favor of placing the past president on the administrative committee, please raise your hand. All right, online. Nicole?
Sorry, I vaguely heard what you said about the motion.
So the motion on the floor is installing the past president as a member of the administrative committee.
Ah, yes, I approve.
Cindy?
Yes.
Debbie?
Yes.
All right, thank you, everyone. We have passed that motion.
Following that motion, if I could just make a second motion to take care of the other part of this original one motion, I move we rename the administrative committee to the executive board.
I'll second that.
Right.
Call for questions.
Oh, and a call for questions.
Is that seriously something we can do? That is so cool. I'm going to do that all the time.
Gary, study up on this. Okay, we have a motion and a call for question. Motion and second and a call for question to change the name of the administrative committee of staff council to the executive board of staff council. And we have a call for a question. All those in the room in favor of the motion, please raise your hand.
Bob just left, that's why you have one.
That way, okay. 17-4.
Online, Nicole? Please say again.
Hi, yes.
Thank you. Cindy?
Yes.
Debbie?
Yes.
All right. Before we go any further, I need you all to be aware that it is now 3:10, and we are nowhere near completed with the rest of our agenda. I would like to pause this item 7C and point out, let's see, we have generally reported on all items. The internal committee reports are attached, one of which is not met. The statewide committee reports have been given. Pretty much, Gary and Debbie, your previous statements. Okay. External committee reports should be attached. If not, in the future, please either indicate to Nicole that the committee has not met, or make a written report.
Just a point of information here. I didn't catch this earlier. I didn't see a master plan on there, but I did provide a report.
Oh, it's 12F. It's there.
Okay. Oh, maybe. All right. I would just like to point out one thing to people is that no matter why it's in order at this point.
Yes.
Is that around the beginning of March, April, they're going to be closing off the town loop where it passes in front of where the new engineering building is for 2 years. That's going to create a kind of a big challenge of people getting around. There's discussion on how to get the shovel out of the Taku bot. Brad is pretty familiar with it. And then traditionally Taku Drive is where it goes down the hill, is going to be blocked for about a month during the summer while they replace the sewer line that runs underneath. On top of which, in front of Wood Center, for the Wood Center redo that they're going to be doing to the north and, or to the south and to the west, there's going to be a whole new utility work built in there. So it's going to be a real mess on our campus. So if anybody wants to move up to West Ridge during the next few years, it might be appropriate. One thing I have been pushing and maybe got a slightly receptive response from the chancellor is to at least open the North Panama Loop during the summer. And so I just so you're not surprised by a terrain park, not remember, you know, but it's going to be pretty hellacious getting around for the next 2 years. So,
yeah,
okay.
You didn't think how that works with park.
I didn't know if staff council wanted to pass a resolution trying to urging some alternatives or stuff like that. But
work from home?
What?
Work from home.
Yeah.
Don't tell
it
to
me. It could very well
may not be.
Yeah. Okay. with your permission, declare 10, 11, and 12 as completed. Okay. 13, Brad has reported 13A is not met. 13B, we have a written report. Ashley had to leave. 13C has not met. 13D, Brad, do you want to do an wrap-up?
There'll be a final report, which I will endeavor to have done before May. We got some information from staff affairs, which we'll put into a final report. But I hope you guys all like the calendar, and thanks to the committee for doing this. Thank Gary, Sarah Batiste, and Mary Sue Dates.
Thank you.
Okay, so then I will also say 13 is complete, and move then the committee back. We can take a break briefly and then move back to the reorganization proposal. So
be
back here at 3:20? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm where you are.
So we're back at 3:20.
Where you're at here, and there's where you are. Okay. Yeah, you're at home.
It is decaf, actually.
Okay, so I'll call us back to order. It's 3:20. We have then before us three remaining motions. Well, I apologize for that language. We have proposals, three remaining proposals on attachment 236-2. Jeanette, I'll let you start off.
For those online, we are on the membership slide of attachment 236-1. It has been edited a little bit. I'll go ahead and read it for the benefit of those online. Bullet point one is to limit alternate seats. Bullet point two is to allow for proxies when a representative is unable to, well, basically I'm looking at attachment 236-2, and my apologies. It basically is verbatim, but since I started it, I'll finish. But the motion to allow for proxies when representative is unable to attend staff council or a committee meeting, and to create 5 at-large seats to be elected from the community that includes all eligible UAS staff members. It should say staff members, not staff council members. That would be counterproductive. So anybody who is, I know you have to have 2 seats. Anybody who is eligible to be a representative of staff council is also eligible to run for one of the 5 at-large seats, regardless of their unit. So are there any questions about that edit before I move on? Questions online? Okay.
Should I just move?
Okay, I move on behalf of this committee to eliminate alternate seats.
Second.
think Pip brought this up, but like for people that are in alternate seats that are active members right now would not be just eliminated and tossed away, that they would have the option to.
Yes. Thanks for that clarification. Go ahead.
It would be phased. I mean, they would be waiting. They would be still on there until the next election comes up. You're not just going to kick them out.
Current
yes.
people would serve out their current
yeah. Yes, yes. Let me just reiterate that. Obviously, we're so grateful for everybody's service. I started out as an alternate myself. So folks that are currently in alternate positions will retain their position until the natural end of their
term.
Thank you.
And we only have, how many? Four or five right now, anyway?
Five.
Okay. All of 34.
We could make it, yes.
So are you making it?
I am.
Or you could just say the clarification, limited alternate seats at the end of their term.
Okay. I would agree with that. The motion is to eventually remove alternates out of the, or to eliminate alternate seats. And as far as the, I'm not entirely sure if the language of the bylaws or constitution of staff council needs to say how we will implement that. I'm not entirely sure, but I would love to hear ideas.
Well, you could just say to eliminate alternate seats as of the next election.
Beginning with the next election cycle.
At the end of their current term.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Can I amend my own motion? Okay, I will withdraw my motion. And now I move to eliminate alternate seats at the end, or as they are vacated.
Second.
What did you call the
question?
Call for question?
Apparently it's not a magic power. Apparently call the question means vote you would. The body would vote on whether or not to call the question and then go to a vote. So it doesn't immediately kill everything.
The term magic power.
Yeah.
It's good while we had it.
Hope you enjoy this. Okay, is that what you just did?
Sure, yep.
Excuse me, no. Belies it.
Call the question.
Okay, so apparently now we are voting on the call for question. That is, and as you, I hope you all understand the impacts, that is that there is no discussion. If you vote down this call for question, then we have discussion.
I think you could also just ask, does anybody object to that? And if somebody did, then you can't, you gotta.
And that's one way.
To having another vote.
Okay. I'm listening. Does anyone have any objection to the call for question? Listen, you can't just run through these things.
We have five out of 34.
All right, there. Then we have a call for question that goes forward. All those, I'm taking a vote on the motion. All those in favor of eliminating alternate seats as they are vacated, please raise your hand.
Okay, they sit in the room four.
18. All right. In the online, Nicole.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Debbie.
Yes.
Motion is passed unanimously. By my count. Someone else joined us.
She just keeps getting drunk.
Oh, Debbie.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Right, Jeanette.
Okay, it's okay if I give a little backstory on this next one. It was suggested this morning, and the question was asked for clarification on the motion to allow for proxies when a representative is unable to attend staff council or a committee meeting. In discussions, this was basically I'm a staff council representative, I have a dentist appointment, and I can't make the meeting, I go down the hall and I choose my coworker and I say, hey, I know you're not a member of staff council, but you are staff. This is how I would like to vote on these issues that are coming up today. I really would like my voice heard. Since there are now no longer any alternates for me to call on, you find a willing person. And they obviously would have to be qualified for staff council as a member of UAF staff and all of the criteria. So this is a twofold benefit that the committee discussed. One was that, of course, your voice would be heard. There would be representation. We would have a quorum and things would not labor. And the other was that somebody who may not have thought about joining staff council gets an opportunity to come, see how things work. Maybe eventually they want to be a part of staff council. So are there questions before? Yes. I'll let Joella do this part.
Well, this is part of the external committees and committee.
I'm sorry, what?
Apply to the external committee
or only regular committee meeting or regular meetings?
We have left it open for both, so that opportunity for both.
Well, two questions. One is if you ask another current rep to carry your proxy, would they get two votes?
We didn't discuss that.
We actually didn't discuss that. That didn't come up. We had.
Usually, I don't see this sort of an issue. If you don't specify not, well, somewhere it's going to come up.
And mine was just because I was on the committee too, was to point out that the discussion came up about you could suggest how you would want your voice to be heard, but that didn't mean that the person that you put in there had to vote what you wanted. So you had that downside to it too, where they could go in and take a different position than what you wanted as a proxy.
And I've been involved in where proxies don't count toward quorum, but somebody can have a proxy to vote. And so I think that it seems like there's kind of a lot of technical issues that the Rules Committee would need to think about in exactly how the proxy system would work.
Okay, Erin?
Being new, I guess I don't understand. I couldn't email Nicole my vote ahead of time, so she knows what it is. Is that not an option?
They don't necessarily know what the motion is because it changes.
I don't know where we go now.
Okay. But you could just write her a blank.
The cold is more perfect.
We've never had that come in. We have when she sends out an email call for vote, but not someone in advance of a meeting. Because the thing that's concerned about is if there are amendments. Yeah.
It would be safe to say that we can vote on allowing a proxy, and it's up to the staff council member to find an appropriate person if they're not going to be there, and leave it up to EMR to define exactly how that's implemented. Whether it's a voting member, whether they're counted towards quorum and stuff like that.
And with reference to external committees, I don't think you can find external committees.
Right.
So that wouldn't apply.
Okay.
Although somebody, my use of a proxy for committee meetings would ever be more just to gather information and to be able to report back. So moving on.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have a motion. You didn't make the.
I have not moved yet.
Any other questions, concerns?
It just sounds to me like it needs a lot more discussion. I'm here.
You can put forward a motion directing EMR to bring proposals forward.
We'll see what the issues are. We'll have to come back with something you guys want to vote on.
Debbie?
Section 7 under quorum says the presence of a majority of the representatives or their designated alternate to the person by electronic media to constitute quorum.
Right, by calling in, yes.
So the designated alternate has to change.
Yes, that would be the role of EMR is to go back in wherever that word alternate is, come up with appropriate language.
So then if they would, her question is whether or not they would constitute part of the quorum or not, it should
There they do.
Okay. Jerry? Just one more question that I might, since we voted to eliminate alternates, are you going to change your name to RecMap from alternate?
You know, it's tempting. My husband might have an issue.
Questions? Is anyone prepared to go forward with the motion?
I could take a swing at it. Let's see. I move to direct. This sounds a little aggressive.
Pat, anyway, with all of this stuff, it seems like this motion is just fine. I mean, that we're creating the proxies, and the rules committee is going to have to figure out how to implement that.
It all goes to two degrees, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, there's my interpretation of what's going on here is that in the others, it really contained the spirit of the intent.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's a holy cow, there's lots of possibilities. Just bring us the possibilities. I think that's what she's going to is just go to EMR and say, what are the possibilities for proxies, and bring us the options versus.
Well, and whether they do that as proposed bylaws or a second step, I mean, they can do it as proposed bylaws and we can say, no, we don't like those. And
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I move to direct EMR, or do we need to talk about the new form since EMR is now two members?
Well, actually, EMR has not been formally changed.
All right.
It has to be in the bylaws for.
I got it now. It will be. Yes. Let's see. I move to allow for proxies when representatives are unable to attend staff council or internal committee meetings. And
that's enough.
Okay.
Second.
Any further discussion? You're just dying to do it, aren't you?
No, no. Then we have to vote twice. That's silly.
You're disenchanted already.
The toy has lost its luster. It's not fun anymore.
Yeah. All right, then. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the motion to allow for proxies when representatives are unable to attend staff council or internal committee meetings, please raise your hand. Online, Nicole?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Debbie?
Yes.
Any opposed in the room? Any opposed online? Hearing none, seeing none. Motion passed.
What was the final count?
21 to nothing, so we still have 21 people around.
All right.
For the final number in membership, I move to create the existence of 5 at-large seats to be elected from the community that includes all eligible UAF staff members.
Second. We have a second. Questions, comments, or concerns?
Nicole, how many active alternates are there?
5.
Those are 5 alternates. You used an adjective there.
Oh, yeah, that's just
5 active alternates.
5 current alternates.
There are a total of 5.
Yes.
Out of 35 seats,
yes. I would move to amend the motion.
I'm not sure that he can as an alternate. He can ask the neighbor to his left or right, but I'm not sure that you can. You can initiate an act. I think you can ask. I think what you could do is.
Or I could just do.
What I think you could do is ask me to recognize you, and you can make a case and see if you can have another member raise the action. So.
Alternate request to be recognized.
Chair recognizes Tom.
I'm alone, everybody. So I think it would be prudent to move your five alternates into the five alternates that are willing. I know that there's some alternates that don't, or are only service alternates or expected service alternates, into the five LRC until the next election cycle, and then you proceed them with the alternates immediately.
And now he brings that up.
Doesn't it all have to go and be ratified before you could do that anyway?
Mm-hmm.
We could do that after all this other stuff gets done. Then we could make a motion to do that.
It would make a nice transition.
Yeah, and you still have a month of that again to actually do it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, EMR has to do it in the they have to make the bylaw changes and bring it to us.
It'll take a couple months.
Right, so you could do in the bylaw change back, but this would be the direction to EMR. Write it up that way.
If someone's so moved right now, does that go on the books and will stay there until they come back to the bylaws?
Mm-hmm.
I so moved.
Two, you must be a little clearer.
Oh, you have to state the whole thing? So moved?
I so moved that the existing alternate should become the prosecutor.
At large.
I have a question.
Did we get a second to your motion?
Yes.
Yes, we did have a second. So is this, in fact, a new motion or an amendment to her?
I have a question.
Okay.
Sorry, is that acceptable?
Yes.
Are the current alternates, is there currently one alternate for each unit? Is that how?
I mean, they're allocated, yes. The seats are there, but the filled. We're talking about filled seats.
Right, but that's how it's allocated, so that, for instance, Unit 1 currently has an alternate and a representative, or two representatives.
They have alternates for every rep. So if a unit has two reps, they have two alts. If they have five reps, they have five alts.
And so
potential. But I know that Evelyn said she only wanted to be an alternate. And so I don't think you should do something like this unless you ask the alternates if they want to at some point be moved into.
Yes. Yeah,
but then
the
I also slightly worry about loss of rural representation if you move the two alternates that we have into at-large seats, which could be filled by anybody. Is that correct? So there's that potential.
But they're bringing a rural voice.
What's that?
They're bringing a rural voice. I'm sorry, when you're concerned about.
Yeah, yeah. They're currently available as an alternate rural voice. Whereas if it was changed to an at-large seat, it could be filled by anybody.
Oh, I see.
But your rural staff council members, if they're not going to be there, still another rural staff council or staff person to fill in for them. So you don't lose that vote no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, but then the non-rural would gain extra.
But you also have the rural campuses also have the opportunity to fill those five alt seats.
It's completely true.
So
I agree.
Five
at large
seats.
Is just another question on the at large seats. What would be the election cycle for that, or would that just be left to EMR to deal with?
EMR can bring it for the details. EMR can work out the details. Yes, sir.
Just actually following it, that was a good question, because one of the thoughts, the justification behind this is that those folks that didn't get elected within their units would then have the opportunity to run after it. So I would see that would be some sort of an alternate cycle, not a process cycle, but an alternate cycle. The EMR could just kind of come up with this or take direction.
Right.
I trust you. I trust EMR. Actually, I mean, obviously we'll have to vote on it, but I think somebody that has a lot of experience with EMR might be able to give us some direction. So as to how to implement this in the most fair and advantageous way.
Well said. So I'm sorry, I ended up on a sandy beach for a minute. Do we have two motions?
There was the motion that was seconded, and then was it an amendment that Trish made, or was it another motion?
I believe it was another motion.
So another motion.
So,
and has it been seconded?
Yes.
Okay. So your motion was?
To transition people that are already in, representatives that are already in alternate seats to the five at-large seats if they so chose.
And who seconded it? Okay. Comments or questions? Concerns? Songs?
Call for the question.
Okay. All right. Then those in the room, all those in favor of moving the alternates into the at-large seats, if they so wish, please raise your hand.
Sorry. I was wondering if I did that.
It's 16-4.
Online? Nicole? Cindy?
Yes.
Debbie?
Yes.
18-4.
Yes. All those opposed to the motion, please raise your hand. Online, Nicole? Anyone else opposed online? Right. We passed that amendment to the motion. Now, the original motion.
Okay. I move to create the existence of five at-large seats to be elected from the community that includes all eligible UAF staff. And then do I include the rest of it? And existing alternates.
Oh,
we did? Okay, never mind. I stopped talking in a few minutes.
And we had a second?
Second.
All right. Any further discussion? In the room, all those in favor of the motion to create the existence of five at-large seats to be elected from the community that includes all eligible UAF staff members? Okay. Online, all those in favor? Nicole? Cindy?
Yes.
Debbie?
Yes.
All right. In the room, all those opposed, please raise your hand.
I have a total of 19-4 and 1 against.
And online, any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, so EMR has some work to do.
We're handing Gary a whole lot of work.
The sheet back there, checking EMR.
Okay, so next, I believe we have accomplished all of our.
And Mary Ellis' new business.
Yeah.
Please
do.
We had discussed staff affairs committee to do some kind of resolution. Thank you to the JHCC for listening to the staff. So I don't know if that's something that we would draft at that staff affairs.
You could at this point say you propose a resolution thanking the JHCC for reconsideration of their motions after hearing from staff at the University of Alaska.
Exactly what I just said.
She's proposed a resolution, and we have a second. Any questions or thoughts on that resolution? All those in favor then of the resolution, please raise your hand in the room. Yeah. Online, Nicole? Cindy? Debbie?
Yes.
All right. We have a resolution of appreciation to JHCC for reconsideration of their motions. What's that?
All those opposed.
Oh, yeah, sorry. All those opposed. Okay. Thank you, Gary. Anytime. So, thank you. at Jennifer. I was staring at it, trying to remember what it meant. I believe we've accomplished the mission on the agenda. Now, if you'll look at the last, very last thing that we do, it's called roundtable discussion. Please stop the recording.